Lisk.
Let's get it started in here.
And 103.5 FM. Good morning. It is a rainy, wet Wednesday here on Justice and Drew. So be careful out on the roads if you're out there driving around. I am Drew, that guy over there, frantically shuffling papers and trying to get organized as the show's beginning, is my good friend John Justice.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where I was going through an editorial and you're just like, yeah, it's good, and that's a good point, that's a good point, and then it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, and then it takes a turn for the stupid.
Wait, what? Yeah, we'll get into it in the 7 o'clock hour, but there's an editorial talking about, and it was one of those interesting moments where there's a couple of stories that kind of align with this, but it was a story in an editorial in the Star Tribune talking about, you know, the fear, intimidation, and you know, individuals expressing their First Amendment rights, you know, are causing harm, you know, beyond that. And I'm like, all right. And so I'm working through doing my notes, and I'm like, yeah, I agree with that. And then suddenly in the middle of it, it turns into a puff piece defending the Minneapolis City Council. And I'm like, wow, you've just exemplified the problem, you unbelievable moron.
it was going down a good track for a while.
Yeah, and then it's just like, it's like, no, you could, it is, but it's just so typical for what we're dealing with today. Everything is partisan. Everything is politicized. It's all agenda driven. The news is completely agenda driven. And it's, you know, it's hard to even get to the truth of stories.
Right.
Apparently, we all need to head down to Mexico and inject some toad venom into our veins to get some clarity, like Hunter Biden did, which is a story that we'll have at 7 o'clock as well.
I can't wait to get into that story. We talked, what was it, yesterday? Yep. he snorted Parmesan cheese, which,
what,
you know,
a treasure.
Yeah, and now he sucks on toads. And I'm not even making that up.
No!
That's a quote.
That's not a euphemism.
Nope.
That's not a metaphor.
Nope.
Hunter Biden says psychedelic toad venom kept him sober for a year.
When the word psychedelic is in the thing that you're doing, you're not sober. Wow, man, I feel great.
How can you call that sober?
I love this feeling. I'm so. No, you're not sober. You're sucking on psychedelic toads, dude.
And even if you want to claim you're sober, by the end of the sentence, you just admitted you're not.
The word psychedelic is in
right.
What you're putting in your body.
And then for a year. So then...
He did it for a year?
For a year. So, I mean, so again, it didn't keep him sober, because Drew's 100% correct, because the psychedelic whatever, yeah. You're not sober. But even if you thought that you were, even if your definition of sober was, I'm not doing a different thing.
Right.
It still failed, because you just said that it only kept you sober for a year.
You ran out of toads.
So after that year, you went back to the other thing that you were sober of.
Yeah, your tolerance for toad venom hit a peak.
I can't anymore. Yeah, that
doesn't count as being sober, dude.
On top of the anti-Trumper who suddenly now wants us to build the wall, which I wiped out on, too. I went back and grabbed a whole bunch of the New York Times Bret Stephens quotes and audio.
Yeah.
Of all the times when he talked about how bad and racist the wall was.
Right.
But now...
Everything they were so bothered by Trump doing, the wall, you know, all these things, that, and the Biden is just continuing to do them. But now it's okay.
Now it's totally fine.
Now it's fine.
We said that for
kids
4 years.
Kids in cages. You know, I saw a number this morning, the peak number of quote-unquote kids in cages during the Trump administration was somewhere around like 3,000. I think it was 2,700 like that. Right now, the Biden administration, 18,000. 18,000 unaccompanied minors, kids in cages, and the left is just quiet. They don't care. They don't care. They didn't care then,
no.
And they don't care now.
But Biden's just such a nice guy. They just want to be coming. Around.
It's not even that. He's just a guy. He's just not Trump. He's just not Trump. I don't want to be shocked by any of this. We said this for 4 years, but still, it is so the double standard is so unbelievable. I still just sit back. How has the country just not turned on all of this? And it just tells you how successful the left has been at gaslighting a vast majority of the country right now.
Right. Well, when you've got, you know, the 98% of the mainstream media in your pocket, essentially working as a propaganda arm for your party, it's easy to do.
Yeah.
It's easy to do. You just don't talk about the things you don't want them to know. And everybody goes along all happy. I mean, they're taking so much credit for the vaccines right now. Trump back in, what was it, October, September, said a majority of Americans will have the vaccine by April. And that was framed as, without evidence, Trump claims that majority of people will be vaccinated by April. Biden comes out and says, you know, we're going to be all vaccinated by April. And woo! What a hero. No, it was Trump did that.
It was the other guy.
Yeah.
It was the other guy. It was Orange Man. The Orange Man did that. Yeah, and Hunter Biden, well, we'll get into more of that, but Hunter Biden going, the fact that he's making all this money, well, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see how many copies of his books that he sells.
Well, that he sells to outlets like the New York Times and political outlets, that he sells to regular
people? Just regular
who
people.
Who actually want to read it.
I don't think anybody else is.
I'm going to go with three.
You think three?
I'll take three.
Yeah. Well, okay, no, let's make it five, because I think two of them constantly use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. So he'll at least get...
I was including them.
Were you? Oh, okay. Then three. Sam, have you scoured the internet this morning?
Yes, I have.
That's really good to hear.
We'll jump into Sam's top five coming up.
And 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew, along with Sam. It's National Twinkies Day.
What?
Yeah.
Why do Twinkies get a day?
Yeah.
What?
What's with that?
Yeah. What did they do to earn that?
It made me laugh when I got the story out of the Star Tribune.
Wait, that was in the Star Tribune?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things here. There are a couple of interesting details here before we get into Sam's top five. Right in the first sentence, it says Twinkies are 91 years old today, and the first thing that popped into my mind was all of them.
Yes.
All of them were all made
91 years ago.
They've been aged like fine wine.
Yeah, they taste exactly the same, too. It's amazing.
I have never had a Twinkie.
Oh, my gosh. It's true. I still probably, on average, once a year.
I couldn't tell you the last time I had a Twinkie.
It's one of those impulse buys.
Yeah.
Like when I go into like the gas station convenience store. Lately for me, it's been the apple pies. Those are usually my impulse apple sweet treats. Yeah. The apple pie. But on a rare occasion, probably about once a year, I grab just standard straight up Twinkies, not the fanciful flavor ones.
I don't need any of them darn fancy.
No, Twinkies. The chocolate ones. They talk about the cotton candy, lemon. No, just give me the straight up here.
I've never been a big Twinkie fan. They're rather plain to me. I'm always more of a, if I had to choose between like those little Debbie type of snacks, I'm going for the Swiss cake rolls.
Oh, Swiss cake rolls.
Swiss
so
cake
good.
Rolls. That's
I haven't had one since I was a kid. But
more
of
my alley.
Yeah, Swiss cake rolls were the snack that I would go for, but just never. The Twinkies just never appealed to me. I don't know why. I think
they're
it's because they do look plain. Yeah.
Like I said, it's just one of those rare things. My go-to was always Ding Dongs, but I can't anymore because it's just dangerous. Because during the dark years, I just go through a whole box. and I've mentioned it before. If you just
Hunter Biden on it and start eating
totally,
things that just look like Ding Dongs.
Yeah, man, because if you chew off just a little, if you have the perfect Ding Dong that is covered in the shell completely, doesn't have any holes, if you bite off just a little portion to expose the cake and then you dip it into milk, you can get the Twinkie filled with milk without having it spill anywhere. So basically,
it's like
you
a sponge.
It's exactly right.
It's magic.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's magic. It's magic.
Experiment.
Yeah. Well, I just beware, because it goes down your, you know, if you don't care about your dignity.
That's just another entry into the Dark Years cookbook that you're working on.
Well, this is the thing that made me...
Eating without dignity. That's a cookbook right there.
Yeah.
Eating without dignity.
What was the thing that you liked to put on...
Eating without dignity.
By John Justice.
What was the thing that you liked to put on Pop-Tarts? Didn't you like to put cheese on Pop-Tarts?
Yeah, cheese on Pop-Tarts, yeah.
Yeah, that's another entry for the cookbook.
In the story...
I have so many, like, John Justice food anecdotes. Like, there's an idea here. There's a moneymaker here. The John Justice cookbook.
I've given John...
Salsa melted cheese on crackers.
I have given John two ideas for books that I am patiently waiting for, and that is your Dark Years cookbook your poetry book.
I'm not doing either of them because
why?
Because they're both going to sell more than the science fiction books that I put all the effort in. And it's just going to make me sad.
Book sales are book sales.
It's not worth the grief.
It's not. You know,
let me cling to my dreams for a little bit longer.
Seriously, man. I'm 25 books in. One of these days, they're gonna grab hold. Apparently, you can make your own. This is the part of it that made me mad, because just, like, make your own. Like, Dark Years John was screaming when I did not know this. You can make your own Twinkies. They were originally invented to make better use of shortcake pans that sat idle outside the strawberry season. Right, the original version was filled with banana cream, but switched to vanilla when bananas were in short supply during World War II.
Ah.
Yeah, the makers of Twinkies, I guess they got the name from a billboard advertising Twinkle Toe shoes.
Okay.
So that's where they got this Twinkies, I guess. And back in 2006, yeah, there was a Twinkies cookbook that compiled recipes from passionate fans, and you could even go and try to make your own at home. But they're not going to taste as good as... Anytime you try to replicate... stuff at home, like when we tried to replicate Zima, it didn't work.
Cheap
knockoff.
Yeah. The trick is don't replicate. You know, just make it a little different. Make it your own. Like add something. Because if you try to mimic something that is mass produced, anything that is mass produced, trying to mimic it is futile.
Yep.
Right? Twinkies, you know, sodas, anything like that, trying to mimic those exact flavors, you're never going to get it because you don't have access to the same types of ingredients, and you would never put some of those preservatives and things like that they put in those, you know, because they have to ship them out and stay fresh in the packaging. You don't. You're just going to put it in your fridge and eat it. Yep. So the trick is to just make it your own.
I have to get gas on the way home today. I think I may.
Yeah, celebrate National Twinkie Day.
Yeah, and then make sure I throw the wrapper away before I get home.
I just want to know why there is a National Twinkie Day. Like, why does that even exist?
Yeah, like, who declared that?
Right.
Twinkie?
Yeah, did Twinkie just decide that? Can I just decide that this is National Sam Day?
It seems like something Trump would have done. This seems like executive order that kind of flew under the radar.
No, Trump would have done National Diet Coke Day.
Maybe that's tomorrow.
It might be.
You never know.
All right. Think we got time? Oh, no. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll dive into Sam's top five coming up on Twin Cities News.
iHeartRadio app. Download it now.
We'll talk Hunter Biden and Toad Venom here on Justice and Drew coming up at 7 o'clock this morning. We'll talk about how the wall now is not racist. Now that it's
now
not.
That Biden's doing it.
Now that Biden's doing it.
Now that Biden's building it. It's necessary.
It's totally necessary.
You know, there's a lot of good that can come from it.
What do you do, man? It's like,
cry.
What do you do?
Hear that and cry.
It's the people that don't care that I just, it's like, do you just not?
Yeah.
Do you not care at all just about consistency and truth?
Yeah.
You know, and not being a hypocrite, this just not matter to you.
There's certainly some lessons to be learned from all of this, and just how important that cult of personality really is. Because we've talked about it a million times. You know, if you take Trump out of the equation and you just look at the things that were done while, you know, during the Trump administration, while Trump was president. All of these Democrats that are up in arms and wearing their pink hats and doing all those stupid things over the last 4 years, they wouldn't have blinked an eye because most of it was kind of benign.
Yeah.
But because Trump had such an abrasive personality, he was very easy to hate. Like once you decided that you didn't like Trump and you hated Trump, he didn't do anything to try to win you back. right? And it's like, he was very easy. And anything he did, you could react in one of two ways. You could either be like, cool, Trump, yeah, that was awesome, or, oh, that just makes me hate him more.
Well, and it's going to be, and this is something else that we'll get into next hour, you know, this is going to be repeated over and over again for any Republican who the left feels could be a formidable opponent. And you're already seeing this with Ron DeSantis. There are, I mean, these prominent members of the Republican Party, that if they get a whiff that they can become popular, right, they are going to demonize them, they are going to vilify them, and they've got a media that has now staked their flag on the side of the leftists. They are completely against, you know, any sort of truth, any sort of unbiased reporting, and they've just like, no, we've planted it here on the left, this is where we're keeping it, and that's the opposition that any potential Republican contender is going to have to face.
Media and pop culture.
Yeah.
You know, and when you say pop culture, it's more than just, you know, those Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo type of celebrities.
No, it's everywhere.
It's Major League Baseball. It's the National Football League. It's the National Basketball League. It's these pillars of our culture that used to be a place where all of us could go and enjoy a shared experience without feeling like, wow, these people really don't want me here. But now when I watch a baseball game, I kind of feel like Major League Baseball doesn't want me to do that. It doesn't want me as a part of their audience.
Well, even NASCAR's, you know, been going that way.
Yep.
But even beyond that, too, and you're totally right, but it also permeates all the way down to the little talk, just on the rarely listened to small audience podcasts. You cannot get away from it anymore, because I listen to a lot of this stuff. And, you know, they're little benign comments here or there, but, you know, 50 little benign comments spread throughout a year's worth of podcast to an audience of 200 people that listen every single day, that has an impact.
And when 95 or more percent of that audience isn't paying close attention to politics,
and they're not,
and they hear those little comments all in all, that's how you normalize a lot of these thoughts, and you get people who uncritically accept whatever narrative is being pushed.
Yeah, well, you know, something that'll never be normalized. Sam's top five this morning.
Wait, or just Sam.
Number one.
A truer statement.
The first witness to take the stand yesterday during the trial of Derek Chauvin was Sergeant Kerr Yang, a 24-year veteran of the Minneapolis Police Department who currently coordinates the MPD's crisis intervention training. He testified yesterday that 4 years before Floyd's death, Chauvin had taken a 40-hour course on crisis intervention and how to use de-escalation techniques. The second witness yesterday, Lieutenant Johnny Mercel, wrote to MPD's use of force training curriculum, and he testified that an officer's use of force needs to be reasonable and proportional.
What is proportional force?
Well, you want to use the least amount of force necessary to meet your objectives.
He also said that you can increase the amount of force that they are using if a lower level of force is not working or is unsafe to try.
Because if you can use the least amount of a lower level of force to meet your objectives, it's safer and better for everybody involved.
And we will, of course, have a more in-depth update on the Chauvin trial at 7:55 a.m. with Jason DeRusha and Scott Johnson.
Number two.
COVID-19 vaccine appointments at the training facility for the Vikings were postponed due to weather damage.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Happened to me.
Oh, I got sad. I got
an appointment. You know, it's like I got the little notification that, you know, I was eligible and all that. So I tried to get an appointment earlier in the week, but I'm out of town this week and I'm going to be in Florida from like Thursday evening until Monday night. Right. So I was hoping I could sneak in and get an appointment before I went out of town. And sure enough, got an appointment yesterday for today, later today. And I was like, cool. All right. Knock that out. Get the J&J. It's the one shot in and out. Right. You know, and then about 20 minutes after my appointment was confirmed, it was canceled.
Oh, no.
And my first thought was, how Minnesotan? And I know this has nothing to do, you know, I'm not blaming Minnesota state government. This is a weather, I'm not saying, but it really felt like a very typical sort of Minnesota government thing to do, to put the vaccine out there, get me the appointment, and then 20 minutes later, just snatch it away.
I have a, in my text thread, I have the quintessential how it started, how it's going from Drew. Because it is. It's getting the JJ vaccine tomorrow, followed up, you know, a few hours later by a screenshot of him.
Yeah.
Telling him that, yeah, just kidding.
And for a while, it's like I wasn't even sure that, you know, it was legit. It felt like this could have been, you know, a phishing attempt or something like that, you know. But yeah. No, it was, I went and hopped online and did a couple of clicks around. And sure enough, due to weather-related damage requiring repairs at the vaccination site, we regret to inform you that we need to postpone your appointment to receive the vaccine.
I wonder how bad the damage was.
They didn't.
No, they're back doing it tomorrow, so it couldn't be.
Yeah, it's so weird. Well, and the thing that popped into my mind when Drew, when you were sharing this, reading the story this morning, and it's just continuing to point this out, the lack of concern and the lack of promotion of getting the vaccine right now does not equal the abundance of concern that we were faced with last year, right? It's completely lopsided. Last year we had weekly meetings, you know, press conferences from Governor Tim Walz, and we had graphs and charts and you know, we got to do this. Everybody stay away from each other. And it was just, you know, everybody, we got to be concerned for our lives. One Minnesota. And then you flash forward to now. And you should, based off of what was said last year, you should have an equal, if not more, amount of focus on, you know, go sign up, do what you can, and it's crickets. Mm-hmm. They're not promoting it. I mean, I know there's a smattering of promoting, but it is completely lopsided.
Yeah. Well, and the good news is that, you know, more and more people are getting the vaccine.
Sure.
Right? And that should be the headline. We should have a count up on the screen like we did in the early days of the pandemic, you know, the little ticker with the number of cases. We should have a count up on the screen with the number of vaccinations administered.
No, they're still doing case counts.
I know.
They're still fear-mongering.
Yep, because case counts are scary, whereas vaccination numbers would give people hope and optimism. Ugh. But that's not what we do now.
Number 3.
The Texas Rangers have opened their ballpark to full capacity, a full-capacity crowd for their home opener versus the Blue Jays. From CBS.
I am not joking. I saw this story yesterday, and I verbally was like, yeah, and like clapped all by myself because it was just a beautiful thing to see, man.
You go, Texas.
I couldn't believe that a story of a capacity crowd for, you know, a sport that I, you know, don't really care about and teams that I'm minorly aware of. And I was like, that's amazing to see, you know, a capacity crowd at a stadium again. I just, that's awesome.
From CBS, despite COVID-19 cases still on the rise, the Texas Rangers opened Globe Life Field to a full-capacity crowd for Monday's home opener. Prior to Monday's home opener against the Toronto Blue Jays, fans could be seen as they packed into the stadium to watch their team play.
Nice little bias there at the beginning of that line from CBS to, despite COVID-19 cases still on the rise. You could have chose to say, as, you know, millions of Americans are receiving the COVID-19 vaccine.
Yeah.
The Texas Rangers opened Globe Life Field. As COVID fatality rates have plummeted, the Texas Rangers have opened Globe. Like, they could have gone a number of different directions,
or,
but no.
Or if they were like just trying to be a little bit less biased, they could just say the Texas Rangers opened Globe Life Field to a full capacity crowd. Yeah. Period.
Well, done. And there was I think it was Reason or the Federalist had put out a piece probably a month ago, but they were going through, you know, just the commentary around the vaccine and COVID and how it's just, it's completely heading in the wrong direction. This should be cheered. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what the media should be focusing on. We should be celebrating and we should be being positive. And we have a story at 7:20 this morning pointing to the very thing that we were talking about. The states that locked down the hardest are the ones that are experiencing the worst uptick, apart from like Nebraska, which they have some details on. But they're the ones that are experiencing the worst uptick, especially with this variant, because they haven't reached herd immunity. But that being said, we should be, as a society, celebrating and embracing this and getting ready to get back to life. And the people that don't want to get back to normal, you're just weird, man. I can't relate to you.
Yeah, but and feel free to not go back to normal.
Yeah, please.
Like, by all means, do what you want. Live, but stop telling other people. Stop trying to force other people to live the way you're choosing to live.
number four.
The White House says there will be no federal vaccinations database or COVID-19 vaccine passports.
I don't believe you.
Let me be very clear on this. I know there's been lots of questions. The government is not now, nor will we be supporting a system that requires Americans to carry a credential. There will be no federal vaccinations database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential. As these tools are being considered by the private and nonprofit sectors, our interest is very simple from the federal government, which is Americans' privacy and rights should be protected, and so that these systems are not used against people unfairly.
I am so suspicious.
Well, you know, look, I'm
not reassuring.
No. The prepared answer that she had to that question that she looked at and read the entire time that she was speaking. I'm suspicious.
Look. I'll be the fool and believe it until they do something different. But I think my view on this is not for a lack of not wanting to, but they know that it pushes back against the narratives that are dominating the headlines right now, and they can't push for a national vaccine, you know, database and passports in the middle of when they're trying to frame voting laws as being racist. It just doesn't fly.
And they also know that if there is any sort of push for, you know, having some credentials or a passport or something to demonstrate that you are vaccinated, it's going to be fueled and enforced primarily by those that private sector that she was talking about, big corporations, things like, you know, Major League Baseball and the NFL and large events that might require you to show proof of vaccination before you can enter one of their events, or even something like a restaurant chain or something like that, a Walmart, big box stores. That's the concern, is that you're going to have your Walmarts and your Home Depots and your MLBs and your NFLs all collectively agree to enforce these credentials, enforce these passports, to where it's, whether or not it's happening from the government, the end result ends up being the same. And that's the concern, is what I want to see is not just a push like you're seeing in Florida, where you have governors saying preemptively, we're not going to do this and we're not going to allow it, but take it a step further and say, we're not going to allow private companies to discriminate based on one's vaccination status or lack thereof.
Yeah, I still think that the businesses are going to see a point of diminishing return on doing that, but I could be wrong. I think that what Trump said last year, while he was still president, miss you, dude, I think what he said was right when he would make his sort of trailing off comment about how, you know, one day it's just going to go away and it's not going to be. I really do think that's what's going to happen. I think we're all going to be sitting here one day and we're going to be looking and be like, wow, there's no headlines about COVID anymore. I think it's just, and that presser with
fingers crossed.
Well, that presser with Biden to me was the first indication that's going to happen, when they just completely ignored it, when the media completely ignored it. We're not there yet. And I think we still have several months away, but I would imagine sometime by the end of the year, certainly by 2022, it'll be a time where we'll be like, it will actually be in the rearview mirror.
Number five.
There's a ketchup shortage.
No.
From Fox News.
No.
Okay. I just want to say up front, there's not a ketchup shortage, okay? Because they're all on a shelf inside of every American household's refrigerator. Because surely we're not the only ones. We have one shelf dedicated to all the packets of marinara and Arby's sauce and ketchup that we go and get from fast food places. When we come, we don't throw them away. We just throw them right into the fridge. I probably have 100, if not 200, packages of ketchup sitting on the top shelf of my door of my refrigerator.
I mean, I don't have that.
Yeah, I don't have that.
Oh, use the hashtag TCNT. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think that's where they all are.
No, they are in our tummies. Ketchup is the latest pandemic-fueled shortage, following flour, pepperoni, and aluminum cans.
Boy, you guys both just looked at me like I was a crazy person.
I didn't look at you like a crazy person. I just don't have that.
I just have questions, and I don't know that this is the best forum for those.
It sounds like
we're almost up against a break. We're in Sam's top five. I feel like if I start asking the questions that pop into my head, we're going to completely derail. Well,
that's okay.
The entire program.
That's okay, because I don't have questions. I just have a statement. All that I am seeing right now is that when you go to fast food restaurants, your family is the people that, like, when they have the container of all the packets, you just grab a handful and huck it in your bag and run.
No, it's not that at all. It goes back to what I was talking about with, like, the comments on the podcast, right? It's like, you know, X amount of visits to, because we don't go to fast food that often, right? There's a whole other side story here, which I won't get into, but we do frequent We talk about it. I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Finish your story, and then because then I want to leave a little bit of time because I do. I honestly do not believe that I'm the only one.
I don't think you're the only
one. I honestly believe that many American households have a shelf on the door in the refrigerator that is filled with condiment packs places they have visited.
So if that's true, I will give it to you. It means that we're hoarding a little bit,
yes.
That Americans are hoarding, which has led to prices for ketchup packets going up 13% since January 2020.
Yes.
Just for packets? Just for the pack. I hate the packets.
I know, we do too. That's why we don't use them, but we can't throw them away.
Yes, you can.
Yes,
you can.
But the reason, though, Drew, is because...
Yes, you can.
that's Poado.
So... The reason why ketchup packets specifically are in such high demand is because shared ketchup bottles at restaurants are no longer a thing.
Yes.
So now they've all been replaced by individual packets mm-hmm. at restaurants across the country. Health and safety guidelines from the CDC advises restaurants to avoid using or sharing items that are reusable, like menus, condiments, and any other food containers to curb the spread of the virus.
Yes, but they also said yesterday that you're not getting the virus from surfaces.
Well,
you know, this idea that you know, you have to scrub everything down and clean every surface religiously is, you know, that's not a concern with how this virus spreads. So maybe drop that earlier guidance.
Yeah.
And let people put salt and pepper shakers back on the tables at restaurants,
it's
please.
True. You want consistency?
Yeah, I know.
Great. No. Right.
We'll get into more of this coming up.
Good job, Sam.
TCNT. Just make me feel. I don't care. Make me feel better about me.
Shame him.
Just kidding.
Shame your condiment practices.
I'm 48 Shame. Years old. I'm not changing. I'm only getting worse. We will get into Hunter Biden and his toad venom detoxification, apparently, yeah. And how suddenly now the wall isn't racist. It's all coming up on Twin Cities News.